And good morning, KRFY listeners. This is your Tuesday morning host, Julie Calamine, here for another exciting Tuesday interview. And for those of you that listen frequently, you know that we are now going live most weeks. And that's where I am today, live here in the studio with some great guests. We've got a live interview coming and then a recorded interview, so it's a little mix-up of everything. Before I introduce our guests, though, I'm going to give us a brief weather report, because weather relates to both of our topics today. Ah, what's going on? Well, we've enjoyed some cooler weather, but that's going to end for a few days, because today is sunny with a high of 89 in Sandpoint. Tonight, chilly, low of 56. Tomorrow, 94. And so it goes throughout the week. Thursday, look at a high of 89. Friday, 94. Saturday, 85 again. So our swimming weather is not over, and that means that there is still time for summer recreation outdoors and possibly indoors if it gets too hot and smoky, and we won't get into the smoke right now. But without further ado, I would like to introduce our guests this morning, and it's a really wonderful topic. I am so fortunate this morning to have, from City of Sandpoint, Jennifer Stapleton. Jennifer, you are the city administrator. Good morning.
Good morning, Julie.
So glad to see you again and live in studio. I love it. And Maeve, and I got to get your last name right. Is it Nevins Lavtar?
Nevins Lauter.
Lauter. Thank
the V
you.
Sounds like a U.
Yes, and I know you've told me this before, and I'm just going to write it
perfect.
The other way. But I did pretty well this time.
Thank you.
Yeah, Maeve, you are the master planner, the parks planner here at Sandpoint, here just about 1 year now.
Correct. It's been a year, and my official title is Park Planning and Development Manager.
Oh, even better.
Yeah, so
we'll get
all
everything.
Things parks.
We'll get everything straightened out with you before the end of this interview. Thank you. Well, we are here to talk about a few things, but the main topic today is for you to provide us with an update on the indoor James Russell Memorial Building. That's all about court sports and sports that use balls of any type, correct? Yeah. Who would like to start? Jennifer.
I'm going to start with the overview and then hand it off to Maeve with kind of the details, because she's really our mastermind behind design and feel, and she's our project manager, obviously, for this project. So we've gone a little quiet with this project over the last 4 or 6 weeks, because this is a design build project, which we haven't done in the city before. What we're used to is a process where we go through a whole process of design, finalize the design, you know exactly what you're getting, and then we put it out to bid and move into a construction phase. For this particular project, we did a design build process, number one, because it helps us stay on track with our budget and our donation for this project, and it also supports an expedited timeline approaching things that way. So the construction team is managing the project with the designers, and so construction is being considered and being expedited steps in that regard at the same time that we're doing design. What I can confirm for this is we are probably about 3 weeks out from having concepts for the community, the final design concept. We had a workshop about a month ago and got feedback from the community. We're also going to be putting out a survey here in the next week or so, asking for some additional information, which will inform more of our operations planning for the facility, because that's occurring at the same time. But based on the feedback that we got from the workshop about a month ago, we're now taking all of that feedback and putting that into final design. It will be a facility of 4 tennis courts, as promised, with 16 pickleball courts in the indoor facility. And I'm going to let Maeve talk about some of the other elements. But as with our other parks projects, and most recently War Memorial Field, we're really looking at this as a phased project. So where are there opportunities to leverage more donations, leverage additional grant dollars to achieve the bigger parks concept vision? So we're working within the budget that we have with this donation, but what the public's going to see with this is the broader vision, and it's going to be a phased project again, which has been very successful for us at War Memorial. We pretty much immediately went from one phase into the next phase as we were able to raise dollars. And that really takes not only knowing what the cost is going to be for those future phases, but really that visual that people and funders can see and then inspire them to invest. So we'll be working on that. And I'm going to hand it over to Maeve to talk a little bit about more around elements and design and what this starts to look like.
Sure. Thank you, Jennifer. And thank you, Julie, for having us here today. One of the really unique attributes of this project is that we're following an integrated design theme. And that means that we're not just doing the court sports facility. We're also incorporating a plaza, and we're actually calling it the Hub and the Gateway Plaza. And that's really going to be the gateway to the rest of the park and that entire area. And that plaza is going to bleed over, figuratively, over to the skate park. And the skate park is, again, another integrated design element. And for that one, we're looking at items such as skateboard or activities such as skateboarding, rollerblading, bikers, even accessible for people with mobility devices such as wheelchairs. And also we're looking at people who would like to just view the skate park area and be able to interact in a different way, more of a passive way, and just be an observer of the activities. And so that plaza and that integrated feel and design will make it seem like it's one cohesive project instead of doing it piece by piece. And I should say, point out there is an incredible fundraiser coming up for the skate park component. They currently have $300,000 designated for their skate park development. We are hoping to at least double the size of the existing concrete skate park, and it will remain in that existing area. And the fundraiser coming up is the King of the Concrete on the 17th, and they're going to be raising money for their version or their portion of the skate facility.
So. All right. So the picture really is very big. It's integrated recreation. It's going to take place around Traverse Park. The pickleball and tennis and basketball indoor facility will be very prominently noticed within that area. Tell us a little bit more about how that's all going to work out.
Sure. So, if you envision it coming down West Pine Street, I would encourage you to take a walk down that road and imagine that you're approaching the park. That's really where it begins, is from the sidewalk on West Pine Street. And then there's going to be a robust pathway connection. And we don't know exactly what the pathway will look like yet. We're still in design, but there'll be a connection straight from the West Pine Street area going through that area and then integrating with the skate park on the right-hand side. And then we have the existing tennis courts. And in that vicinity is where the building is going to land. And then the plaza is going to overlap through all that with the parking lot framing the lower part or the south section of the park. Another thing that we're going to be doing is integrating the bike facilities. In the park master plan that was adopted in 2020, they identified a bike skills course. And part of this design build project and the way it's structured is that through that process, we can actually realize the design for other elements besides the ones that we have the funding for construction. And one of those I asked for in the design was the design of the bike facility. So that means that we're going to have a fully integrated design, which, as Jennifer mentioned, it will enable us to fundraise for those additional elements.
Sure. And all started with such an amazing donation from the Russell family, $7.5 million, right?
Yes. Two people. I think it's such an amazing, generous donation to this community and Jim Russell and Jenny Russell, so the son and now the widow of Jim Russell, continue to be involved in regular communication with us about this project. It was over 2.5 years of building a relationship with them to realize what their dream was for a legacy gift for this community in honor of Jim Russell. And really there ended up being this alignment because Jim had a love for sports. He attended Sandpoint High School, graduated from there, was a multi-sport athlete, played sports his entire life. Was an avid fisherman, played tennis throughout his entire life, was a football player, baseball player, and basketball player when he was at Sandpoint High School. So really their interest is and love is of all sports. But as we started working on where there was the alignment, it was envisioned in our parks plan for a court sports building initially to replace the four outdoor tennis courts. So I do want to confirm, and hopefully people got it with Maeve's description, we heard very loudly about the desire to retain the four outside courts. So those will be retained and the building will be in proximity to those courts. So it's going to offer wonderful opportunities with the potential for tournament play that's indoor-outdoor. So they're going to interface with one another. So their primary goal was the court sports being tennis, pickleball, and accommodating some basketball, but certainly they have a love for all sports. And we have heard from the multiple users that use this park, and we've heard from the neighbors as well because they're a key stakeholder. So parking is being considered in our parks concept. We have upgrades to the baseball softball fields, so those are being considered in future phases as well. We're really looking at this holistically to benefit as many community members as possible, and that really is the goal of the Russell family. Their only criteria at the end of the day was having final approval on the sign that goes on the facility.
Oh, that's really sweet, isn't it?
Yeah.
So
yeah.
Quite a generous donation.
Unheard of.
Yes.
Unheard of. And the broader family is involved with the project as well. So at our last community meeting, Jim Russell's brother, who is still with us and lives in the community, he was in attendance at that meeting. So the family really is watching this, and it's been a wonderful relationship between the city and this family. And as we launch this, we see it's going to be a wonderful relationship with this community and this family.
Yes, it really sounds like a win-win. And I will tell you that I'm happy to hear the news about the Travers tennis courts being retained, mostly for the sake of my husband, who is very concerned about it, who's a tennis player, but of course for the community. So shout out to you, Daniel. I'm sure you're happy to hear about that. And full disclosure, I'm the pickleball player in the family, so I couldn't be more thrilled to hear about 16 pickleball courts. Let's move on and talk about what you might know in the area of operations. Do you know anything yet? How will it run? How will it go day to day? Or is that, are we too far from that?
We're in the really early stages of developing that, and we'll obviously be having conversations with both the pickleball and the tennis community on what that kind of looks like. You know, we're aware of court reservations currently in our own programs that go through the city, so that is being considered. But it probably looks, as we've looked at other facilities, there's the opportunity to be able to go online and reserve a court during open time. It probably looks something a lot like that. We do have the ability with online reservation systems to accommodate that with our current parks and recreation software that we have available online. And certainly our goal as well is with this operations plan is really looking at how we fund the cost of operations and how we plan for future capital upgrades, improvements that need to occur as well. So thought really is going into those things. We've had conversation with some individuals and groups about the possibility of starting an endowment fund, which supports this facility and other parks improvements. And that is a good way to help us offset cost to taxpayers, cost to users, and really ensure a fully functioning, beautiful facility in perpetuity, and keep costs down, because that obviously is a goal too. Unfortunately, with an indoor facility as compared to an outdoor facility, we're going to have to build some use fees into this, but we're trying to be very careful and considerate that we don't start becoming the equivalent of a private facility, that we do have that right balance with community support, taxpayer support, user support, to keep costs down and really make a facility available to the entire public, regardless of income status.
Yeah, it's going to be a challenging task, and in some ways maybe a bit daunting, but important, because, of course, we all understand what it what indoor court fees cost in the area. And I know listeners are looking forward to hearing more about this and whether it'll be something affordable for them now and then into the future. So we'll stay tuned to hear about fees, essentially, on the indoor facility.
I feel confident we're going to reach that right balance with this, and I think it's important to note for the community as well that we do have our recreation scholarship program. So truly our programming at the city is available to anyone regardless of income. We do have scholarship opportunities as well, and we're looking at examples of other city-owned, county-owned in some cases, facilities and how those are operated. And when we got this award pretty early, or this donation pretty early on, at the time when we were looking at moving forward with construction and what our approach was going to be, we brought on a nationally recognized consultant to help us with development of the operations plan. So that's all happening simultaneously. It's not, operations isn't an afterthought. And sometimes that happens when you get chasing building a new facility and then operations you think about later. It truly is happening right now. And our operations consultants working very closely with the design build team.
Well, that's wonderful to hear. And Sandpoint is not reinventing the wheel. That's good to hear, too. We're learning and getting input from folks that really know how to do this. Wonderful. Let's talk about time frame for the indoor facility. Is that running on schedule? Do you have any news about it?
Well, currently we are on track to be completed by November of 2023. Again, we just started the design, so we still have to go through the permitting process. And as you know, construction materials are often unpredictable at best. And so we're working on that. Again, fortunately, because we do have the contractors leading the project with us, we're working hand in hand. And so I haven't seen an updated schedule yet, but I imagine in the next couple of weeks when we roll out the concept to the community, we'll also have an updated schedule. I can tell you something way more exciting than schedule is the theme. And the theme of the park, I think the community is just going to be elated about. It relates to Mr. Russell's upbringing and his relationship with the Patrick McManus stories and Patrick McManus himself. And I'm sure Jennifer could speak way more to this than I can being the local. But we have integrated this vernacular that is uniquely Sandpoint and keeping the character of the community through the landscaping, through the ecology of the site and looking at the vegetation. And I think that you're going to see a lot of sustainability practices in both the landscaping and the building that is innovative. It is cutting edge technology in both the site and the landscaping, and also very uniquely Sandpoint. But I'd love to hear Jennifer tell you about the Patrick McManus theme.
Yeah, I think, you know, Patrick McManus was Jim Russell's best friend growing up. And the Patrick McManus books are actually largely based on the Russell family. And for those who have read the books, Reg, one of the main character in the book, that actually is Jim Russell. So, and if you haven't read the books, I strongly encourage it, or attend the theater productions, because they're just so funny, but so North Idaho. And so there's been a lot of conversations with the design team on really how to honor this gift to our community and do it in such a way that all community members can enjoy. And Traverse Park is a park that is heavily used by families and by kids. So you will see in the design that we come out, they've managed to work in, they're going to be working in fishing. I mentioned his love for fishing, and you will see that in the design for the park, the different sports. Again, we have the donation of the two sculptures that came from another local family, and that is a bronze of a black bear and a bronze of a cougar and cub. And really, Denny and Anne, who donated both of those pieces, and they're currently being commissioned. The idea is they wanted pieces that children could interact with, climb on. So this isn't your typical art installation that you can look at and you can't touch. Touch is heavily encouraged.
Oh, cool. So, no velvet ropes around these.
No velvet ropes.
Excellent.
No velvet ropes. And some of the stories from the books in terms of the placement of these sculptures, you're going to see stories reflected in where they go in the park. So I think the community is, we can't wait for this unveiling here in 2 or 3 weeks. And we haven't seen the final design either. It's just been conversations, but where the design team is going and really understanding this family, the history of the family and life in North Idaho. We have emphasized that over and over again. What we did not want to see is some modern sports facility or a facility with names all down the side that you see in other communities. We wanted something that was uniquely Sandpoint in North Idaho. And again, with Maeve being part of our team, she makes sure that happens with these projects and really speaks that language.
I think Maeve makes fun happen.
Maeve does make fun happen.
I don't know. I'm a catalyst for something, but really it's coming from the community. And I like to think more of myself as a mediator. I'm just in the middle of all of this great stuff and these wonderful ingredients.
Yeah. So. And what a wonderful time you've been able to join the Sandpoint community.
Thank you.
Just wonderful to have you here. And it's been about a year and you've settled in at one of our really more exciting times for recreation in the city. So welcome to you once again.
Thank you so much. It's an honor to be here, and it's a real privilege to be at this point in my career and to be able to serve this community. For those of you that I haven't met, I am truly a mountain girl, and I was born in Vermont and ski raced and was raised similar to Mr. Russell. I was very poor growing up, and I was a full scholarship athlete. And got myself off to college and studied landscape architecture in Colorado and had a robust career in the extreme sports world, as well as being a professional landscape architect, you know, parallel the whole time. And I just spent the last nearly a decade in Anchorage, Alaska, with the municipality of Anchorage. And I learned so many great, rich lessons up there that are perfectly aligned with what we're doing here, and the technical soils that we had in Alaska relate to the technical soils here, and the challenges with climate change and everything going on with the wildfires. We have the same issues in Alaska. So, and we also have the outdoors community up there that we have here, and people truly want to be outdoors more than they want to be inside. And so even the court sports people, they were demanding to us during the stakeholder meetings how important it was that the doors could open and that they don't want to be inside during the summer. And, you know, it's important that the building breathes and the building reflects that indoor-outdoor lifestyle. And so, I think it is a right fit, and I don't know if you believe in miracles and serendipitous occasions, but I do, and I think that, you know, Jennifer picking me was one of the greatest honors of my career, so I'm happy and honored to be here.
Yeah, it's great.
Very humbled. Thank you.
You're most welcome, and it's great to hear about a career of professionalism and lots of recreation. You really are the perfect fit for Sandpoint, so thank you.
Thank you.
Well, gals, I think we've concluded the conversation about the upcoming, well, what we know about the Jim Russell Memorial building, but there are a few other things you'd like to share. Jennifer, a couple more upcoming interesting parks and recs.
Watershed, mate. I know you've been doing lots of work there, and since we're on the discussion about mountain towns and outdoor activities,
sure.
Why don't you provide an update on that, too?
Okay. Well, we have a couple of really exciting announcements about the watershed. It was identified a few years ago in the watershed management plan that there would need to be a recreation master plan, and that would be included as an appendix to the management plan. That management plan was adopted about a year ago, and then I was hired, and so it was, you know, again, another one of those serendipitous moments where that project is one of those opportunities to work with the trail folks, particularly the mountain bikers, the hikers, the berry pickers, and then anyone who just loves getting out into that more naturalistic park area. So we've kicked off the master planning with that. We are about to roll out our public outreach plan, but simultaneously, I've inherited the Pend'Oreille Peddlers projects, and one of their big ones is in the Lower Basin. They've been feverishly working for the last several years on trails up there.
And Maeve, for listeners who don't know, although I would think most would, where is the Lower Basin?
Sure. I should say the watershed. It begins at the lower part of the Schweitzer Mountain Road, and then it goes all the way up to where the ski area is, and the ridgeline is essentially the boundaries, and the ridgeline to the west over towards Baldy, and then it loops around to the Mikinik Trailhead. So that entire ridgeline area and everything that drains down to the Little Sand Creek is considered the watershed boundary. The Lower Basin is everything on the east side of the watershed, or the east side of the creek, or the road for the most part. And that's where the trails are historically. So the mostly they're mountain biking or multi-use hiking, mountain biking trails. That's the location.
All right. And working on developing those trails further.
Exactly. So when I arrived here last fall, it was pretty exciting because I met the Pondere Peddlers and Jason Welker, who is now one of our city council members. And immediately the first day that I arrived here from Alaska, they greeted me, several of the members, and took me on a bike ride from the top of the ski area. We rode the lift up and we rode all the way to the bottom of the basin, which is several thousand vertical feet. And through that experience, I got to see all the different ecotones and the different ecology of the site and the landscape. So, you know, you're above the ridge line at the very top, and you have the bluegrass, and then you work your way through the forest, and it's more deciduous trees. And then as you get down into the lower basin, you're in a lot of those old growth cedar and hemlock forests, and that's the majority of the area that is owned by the city in the lower portion. And that's where we've been working for the last year together as a team. And we, with the combination of the city and the Pondere Peddlers, we've been focusing on a new phase of trail, and that new trail is considered their cross-country trail. It's going to be a two-way uphill downhill trail, and the idea of that is to pull the biker traffic that is trying to get uphill safely away from the downhill trails. We do have historical downhill trails in there. We have two of them and a couple little skills areas, and those trails were identified to be redone and upgraded. And so in this first phase, the peddlers, they raised money for the uphill portion that is uphill and downhill and multi-use. And very exciting news, on this Thursday, we're going to be doing our inspection of a portion of it, the lower portion. And the lower portion goes to a new gathering spot called the Friendship Circle. And so riders, hopefully this weekend, will be able to open it up, and riders and hikers alike will be able to go up and down from that Friendship Circle to the lower portion of the segment.
Oh, that's amazing news. Now, we managed to avoid the controversial topic of pickleball versus tennis players in the first part of this interview, but I'm going somewhere a little dangerous. Will there be e-bikes allowed on this trail?
That's to be determined. That's a really great question. We actually just entered into a contract with the International Mountain Bike Association Trail Design Group. They have a branch of IMBA, it's known as IMBA, and their branch is called the Trail Solutions Division, and that division is their for-profit design build branch. And they are actually, their director is a landscape architect, a similar profession to mine. And then they have a whole team that facilitates trail assessments, trail design, conflict resolution in trail areas. They look at access points. And so we just entered into this contract. I have a meeting with them this afternoon, and we're going to be scheduling their visit here. They're going to be here for a week, most likely in October. And we'll stay tuned for that public outreach. But what they're going to do for us is look at all of our existing trails, look at all the different user groups, from the Nordic skiers to the berry pickers to the hikers to the bikers, and all the different types of bikers. And they're going to be making recommendations based on what we have, our existing conditions, and what the 10 to 20 year vision would be.
Well, this is amazing, because once again, Sandpoint's looking to other models and really going to learn something and not try and recreate necessarily. We'll always be unique, but it's so nice to hear that you're really reaching out to the experts who can help the city.
Absolutely. And I do want to give a shout out to our community members who donated funding to that. that actually, in order to hire IMBA, it was a shared matching contract, and we received a grant from a combination of the Kiniksu Land Trust, the Pondere Peddlers, and the Sandpoint Nordic Club, and they provided a $9,000 contribution towards this contract. And also, I should be clear, we're not just looking at trails within the city of Sandpoint property in the watershed. We are looking at the entire watershed, and so we're working with other landowners and other major stakeholders, such as the Bureau of Land Management, the Idaho Department of Lands owns property in there. Of course, Schweitzer is a major landowner on the top end of it, the upper elevations, and also the Forest Service.
All right, very good. Well, that is a great update on what's happening in the basin, and I think Jennifer would like to share about the City Beach area waterfront.
Yeah, we probably should conclude with a little bit, because we had done parks and master plans for several of our sites. One was War Memorial Field. Our second was Traverse Centennial Great Northern, so what we call the sports complex. And then finally, we had concepts for the downtown waterfront. So many know the area city acquired Farman's Landing, as well as City Beach. We are going to be moving forward in the next few weeks and probably talking with council at one of the next two council meetings about the launching the plans and community engagement for a waterfront design. And we are taking a different approach to this than what we have in the past. Again, thinking out of the box, but again, looking at other approaches communities have used that have been extremely successful. So in moving forward with the final design for the Farman's Landing and the waterfront there, and it possibly may be expanded to really finalize design and get moving forward at City Beach as well, we are going to be doing a design competition.
Oh, exciting!
And the wonderful thing about that is a design competition provides the opportunity for the community to be involved in the process, which is not necessarily typical of a design and certainly a construction process. And we are extremely fortunate that we have a gentleman who will be leading this effort here. His name is Don Stastny. He is a retired architect out of Portland who still takes some opportunities, but he only will take an opportunity that he falls in love with. So we had the task, Maeve and I, in talking with Don and selling him on the downtown waterfront and getting him to fall in love with Sandpoint. We were successful in our 45-minute conversation. And to give some perspective on the background that Don brings, he is over three decades of experience as an architect. He is a master planner, particularly in downtown revitalization areas. He has a strong background in natural resources and ecology, and he has hosted design competitions internationally. He has been involved with some of the national memorial monuments, our park in Washington, D.C., some significant waterfront projects in much larger communities than Sandpoint. And the approach with this is you bring together a design team that will require that there be engineering, there be planners, there be architects, there be landscape architects, there be hydraulic engineers, really looking at how to approach a design that considers all elements. And I think the timing of this is really important, because we've heard from the community concerns as we've seen properties changing hands in the downtown, and what does that mean for our downtown, and what does that look like, and how do we preserve our history? This type of a process is a way to really start influencing private design as well. It could inform overlays and that would control design in downtown, and we have been engaging some of the property owners downtown with key properties along the waterfront to be involved in this process and really take a look at their design and have had commitment from them that they would be willing to do so. So stay tuned as we announce this in the coming weeks. But we are hearing the community, the concern about the waterfront. And anytime we have a concept like we have for Farman's Landing or City Beach, it still has to go through a next evolution of really vetting, finalizing that, getting ready for construction. So this will take us into a position where we will have multiple design firms submitting concepts, and instead of just working with one and going back and forth with them, we're going to use the same dollars we would have spent another way and engage multiple firms and really look at what firm is the best fit for Sandpoint. And with Don's credibility and experience with this, we're going to get firms with experience that we otherwise would not be able to get engaged in a project like this. And so we're really excited about it and think the community is really going to be pleased about this as a path forward and an opportunity to participate.
Well, I couldn't agree more. I think it's unique that a city of our size is going to draw as exciting and interesting design competition, and with, I would guess, international folks, right? We might get people from all over the world wanting to participate. We are a gem of the state. So I am as excited as you all are. Good news. Well, is there anything else we'd just like to toss in before I conclude our interview, or how do you feel? Are we good?
We haven't talked about motorized boaters. We've tried to touch on a little bit of every type of recreationalist, and we do have docks that will be in next spring down at War Memorial Field again, looking at that as a phased project. So
Yeah,
we're working on the expansion right now. We have the design, and we've just received the dock design and the permitting process. And so that will be getting expanded this summer, well, really into the fall, once the water drains out. So
sure, but so exciting for folks that are looking for places to keep a boat. It's been very difficult the last few years.
Exactly.
Good news.
We're sprucing up everything, and we're really taking a hard look at some of those priorities that were identified in the Park Master Plan, and access to public water was one of the highest priorities. And so everywhere that the city owns property, we are looking at that right now, especially as it pertains to the parks.
Yeah, that's great news.
One thing I would encourage the community, it's always difficult when we come on these shows, and we appreciate the opportunity, but saying succinct and covering everything that we've got going on, because it's an awful lot. But on our webpage on the sandpointidaho.gov, we have our fiscal year 2023 adopted budget. It's available right on our front page. And so people can look at the online version, and it includes all of our capital projects, stories about what we're doing. So for those that are interested in parks and recreation, there is a lot of information in there. Non-motorized boats, we are looking at opportunities and design there as well, along Sand Creek for additional launch sites. Nice. So all of that is in our budget book, and we encourage people to take a look if you haven't done already and see what the city's up to.
Well, you just did a great job of getting this person to consider looking at a budget, which I normally would abhor the thought of, but that might make it worth doing. Good job.
It may put a lot of work into visuals and her stories and getting the narrative in there. So, yes, please. I think you will. I think you'll find some exciting tidbits in there.
Boy.
It's not just numbers.
All right, I'm going to have to get there. Well, our time is drawing to a close, so I'm going to conclude the interview, and I want to really thank you both. We've had, I'm going to take another shot at it, Maeve Nevins-Lautar.
Yes.
with Parks and Rec, and Jennifer Stapleton, our wonderful city administrator. Thank you both for joining
us. Thank you for having us.
Yes, thank you so much.
On KRFY, we're going to go to a song break, and it's all about balls, tennis balls, etc. That sounded a little risque, but don't worry, listeners. And we'll be back soon.